back in the yesteryear, the workforce wasn't required to have things such as a college degree or a standardized curriculum for training. Once the acquisition workforce was professionalized through legislative means, there were a series of requirements heaped upon it. There was a standard curriculum required for you to be certified to perform your acquisition function. And once that happened, the need for rigorous standardized training sprung up. And the Treasury Acquisition Institute was the IRS's answer to that requirement, because we have a significant population of acquisition professionals. And in order to control our own destiny, the IRS invested heavily in the establishment of our institute. And since its founding, we've been providing the highest level of training to the IRS acquisition workforce.
One thing about acquisition workforce training is how complicated it is. I've talked to several people both in and out of government, and there's a lot of laws, a lot of policies, a lot of regulations, and people have said over time, it's a lot for anyone to know, and it's a lot for anyone to use day in, day out, and remember, and all those pieces to it. From your perspective and the Institute's perspective, do you find that the acquisition workforce, the training of them, the education, the skill sets have gotten more complicated over time because of just changes to laws, policies, and regulations, or because the way the government buys is so much different today than it was obviously 20 years ago?
Yes, to both. There's a lot more training required every year. We get a list of mandatory courses that our workforce has to take. And those mandatory courses tend to follow the changes in the way the government purchases its goods and services. Another challenge is a shrinking workforce and more requirements on the workforce that is actually performing the acquisitions. So it becomes a balancing act where the individuals have got to prioritize either training or getting the work done. And so we're giving them competing signals, so to speak.
And I think that's a great point, because when you have a shrinking workforce and you have piles of paper on your desk that you got to work through, contracts to look at and make decisions on, how do you have time to deal with the training? Which leads us to a good segue to the question about innovation. How are you addressing those challenges of these competing priorities from an education standpoint?
We're doing that a few different ways. As I mentioned a couple minutes ago, we've got a brick-and-mortar facility, so we're able to offer the resident mandatory courses that our workforce needs for certification. But that's just one avenue. Much of the training that they will receive is going to come online, and that content is principally put there by Defense Acquisition University and the Federal Acquisition Institute. We also have about 20% of our workforce distributed throughout the United States, and so we're going to make sure that they get their training in several different ways. Some of it's going to happen because vendors will go out there and establish a class, and our folks will take it locally. FAI also provides training in those areas as well, where our workforce is concentrated outside of the Washington area.
Talk a little bit about how the training happens. Are you guys changing the way you present that resident training? The DAU, they're really focusing on critical thinking and bringing together different disciplines, finance, logistics, HR, acquisition, to work together as a team to solve specific problems. Are you guys heading down a path that's similar?
We are. That is where I'm focused. I think we're going to get there within the next year or so. We are, at this point, trying to make sure that we're able to accommodate the workforce in terms of their absolute certification training. But in terms of the combined team approach, that is certainly on our list of things to do, and I anticipate by fiscal year 16, we're going to have a significant amount of that training.
What about the different courses that you guys offer? Is an element of those courses the critical thinking, the making the decision, not just why you do it because the FAR says so or the law says so, but how does it impact the broader universe of the project or program? Is that another area you're going down that path with?
We are. Those courses tend to be in higher demand. We've noticed that those critical thinking skills are, I don't want to say in shorter supply, but they don't get exercised enough. And that's principally, I believe, because we somewhat homogenize the type of work that the workforce does. In other words, there's much more GSA schedule buys and a lot more firm fixed price type activity. And so critical thinking is not as in demand as it was with the more complex types of acquisitions. And so we're going to make greater use of that type of training because it's perishable and we've had many requests to introduce it into our curriculum, and we are.
From an innovative standpoint, you talked about you do a lot of brick and mortar. What are some of the innovations that you've brought into the Treasury Acquisition Institute over the last couple of years?
Classes such as Strategic Business Advisor. That one is essentially what the 1102 workforce is supposed to be to the program office, and that contains quite a bit of critical thinking in it. There's a litany of other courses that we offer where you've got those types of skills embedded. Another way that we are delivering training, which is new to us, and I think it's going to be more prevalent as we move down the timeline in terms of how we access training. We've embarked upon a path to deliver our live instructor-led training over a virtual network. About 20% of our workforce is distributed throughout the United States. And so what we have been investing in is the capability to reach them so that they can actually participate in classes that are happening here in Oxon Hill. And I don't think that we are necessarily unique in that way. However, with the tightening of the training and the travel budgets, this is critical in terms of being able to reach out and include that segment of the workforce in the various different offerings that we have here at our headquarters.
The need for training never goes away. The need for training is always growing. Is this a model from your perspective, whether other agencies follow your lead or take advantage of your lead, that you think from a government perspective could be followed, could be mimicked?
The trend is towards consolidation because we're all living under sequester, and it gets more and more difficult to initiate things that cost real money. I think what's going to happen is that those agencies who don't have something like Treasury Acquisition Institute or the VA Academy, they're going to be looking to us to actually be able to support more and more of their training requirements. And we're taking that into consideration as well, as we make wider use of things like virtual training, because we feel the pressure now from our interagency agreement training partners to offer more and more.
Where do you see workforce training heading over the next 3 or 5 years? As you guys are laying out your strategic plan, what are some big areas that you're thinking about? You're saying, okay, here's where we need to go.
In terms of delivery, it's going to be more content online, because what our challenge is to reach the workforce where they are as opposed to where we'd like them to be. There's also going to be a greater reliance on what I'm going to call a tailored approach with regard to online modules. And that means that they're going to have to be more focused on specific agency needs, and they're going to have to be sort of just in time in terms of the content, and they also have to be affordable. So that's going to be critical, because cost is an independent variable, and most agencies aren't going to get a lot more money. So you're going to have to do the proverbial more with less. But that's also going to require agencies to provide the hardware for the employees to take advantage of that training, as well as bandwidth in some cases. That's where training is headed in terms of delivery. The course content, the type of classes, that's going to always adjust based on where we are in terms of budgets, issues identified by GAO, inspectors general, emerging trends in the industry in terms of how the contracting workforce makes purchases, et cetera. So most of the changes are going to be in how we deliver those classes to the employees.